Welcome back. It's some Bolts podcast about technology, life, philosophy, and everything in between. It is Monday, August 16th, 2021. This is your host, Muskrat, along with Mike, the admin for Sys Admin Day 2021. Mongoose will not be here this episode. He's got some personal stuff going on. Work stuff, actually. Tonight, we discuss cloud and system administration, along with any other random thoughts for Sys Admin Day 2021. Email the show, packetsandbolts@gmail.com. packetsandbolts@gmail.com. Mike, the admin. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yeah, so we had a little bit of a delay. This would have come out right after Sys Admin Day, but I know you had to reschedule.
Yeah,
so
that's my fault.
That's all right.
I'll take the blame for that one.
Okay, so we've been trying to get you on the show for a while. So last year we had, I think it was Sim, the Sys Admin. Now we got Mike, the admin. So how is adminning going in 2021?
It's a little different, you know. It's I think it's changed a lot over the years, and now it's changing even more. I think this is like the second coming, right? The second coming of major changes within the industry, right? The first one was really, you know, virtualization back in the 90s, That was the first major change within the industry. And that impacted everybody, right? Not just systems, but, you know, networking, you know, every auxiliary, you know, engineering type of platform was impacted by virtualization. And now I think the next one, which is our topic today, is cloud, right? That's the next major driver of change within the industry. And I think it's going to be a big one. A major change to all the different types of engineers, not just systems, but, you know, networking, operations, everything, right? So I think that's what we're talking about today.
The cloud, all of the cloud, how people think about the cloud and what they believe the cloud to be. We'll get into that. We've got some headlines to go over. I think today we will not hopefully have a thousand headlines. We just got a few here. But we will get to the topic in the second half of the show here. But there are some really good ones here. And I know Mike, the admin, has not seen these yet. So usually Mongoose and I would have some headlines.
Ooh, it'll be fun.
This is just our soul. Here's the first one here. This is from WebMD.com. Coronavirus lingers in penis and could cause impotence. So this is something that might be of concern to some men. Men now have one more compelling reason to get COVID-19 vaccine. Doctors suspect the new coronavirus could make it hard to perform in the bedroom, making it hard to get hard.
Ooh.
Coronavirus infection.
Better get some Blue Chew for that.
Coronavirus infection is already known to damage blood vessels, and vessels that supply blood to the penis appear to be no exception. So yeah, this looks like they use an electron microscope to look at a penile tissue sample. So that's kind of weird. I don't know who donated that. But anyways, that would suck if you got like, you know, a coronavirus, and it was kind of, you know, because I think I've had it twice, and it was kind of like it started off as the flu, then I had a very bad, I couldn't breathe and all that stuff. But this is way back in the beginning before it got really bad. And that would suck that after you recover from that, all of a sudden you like couldn't get hard. But hopefully no one's getting that. But if you are, email the show packetsandbolts@gmail.com. Tell us your story. Okay. So Ford Motor Company here, bug exposed customer and employee records from internal systems. So in our never ending stories about how companies cannot secure their own shit, and I'm sure they had a lot of cloud resources, a bug on Ford Motor Company's website allowed for accessing sensitive systems and obtaining proprietary data such as customer databases, employee records, internal tickets, etc. The data exposure stemmed from a misconfigured instance of Pega Infinity customer engagement system running on Ford servers. So I don't know if this is cloud hosted or internal, but the point is, how do you have a hack that not only usually you expose like either customer data or internal data? This is customer, employee, and internal tickets. Like, what the hell?
Tickets.
Yeah.
So their whole ticketing system.
Can you imagine like looking at some of the Ford tickets to see like what they, troubleshoot on a daily basis.
Well, it's not really that far-fetched when you think about it. I mean, they have once that somebody compromises like an admin credential, I mean, you can get into every system they have. Yeah.
I don't know how this was. Yeah. I'm just saying if this was I don't know what Pega Infinity customer engagement is, but I'm guessing this thing like can connect to all this other garbage. So like a customer could file a ticket and yada, yada, and employee records. I don't know. That's usually like ADP. So I don't know how this all, I don't know. All I'm saying is it sounds like Ford sucks at security. That's all I'm saying.
It sounds like they do.
So that's good. Now the end of the world might still be coming here. NBCnews.com. 3 volcanoes are erupting at the same time in Alaska. Did you hear about this one?
Mm-mm.
So
I was just in Hawaii, but no volcanoes are erupting.
South, yes, yeah. Well, usually that would be where you got the volcano. So I did not know the Aleutians had this many volcanoes, but along a remote, roughly 800-mile stretch of Alaska's Aleutian Islands, 3 volcanoes are erupting at the same time, with at least 2 spewing 2 levels of ash and steam, or low levels of ash and steam. What they're saying, though, they're saying that they do not currently pose a threat to nearby communities or air travel. But for all those apocalypse people, this could be the start.
Yep. I was just reading an article the other day. They were talking about how it was on like one of the major news channels. They were talking about how like they got the whole making fun of preppers thing really wrong, and people should be starting to prep because things are happening, like drastic changes are happening all over the planet.
Yeah,
so they're like, yeah, we gave all these people shit, and now you know all this shit's that we're eating our words. You know,
I'm kind of on the fence with that. So I actually believe, you know, the Boy Scout motto, always be prepared. I believe in prepping to a degree. I think the reason to make fun of preppers is usually they're not as prepared as they think they are. They put all their money in like hoarding ammo, which will, you know, in a real apocalypse, you're going to run out of ammo. You're going to run out of ammo pretty quick.
It depends on the prepper you're looking at, but sure, yeah, some of them hoard the wrong thing.
The ones that people usually show are loading up on this massive arsenal. And I think that if you're going to prep for the end of the world, you should be learning how to like create bows and arrows, because that's the thing that you're going to be able to make more of. I bet most people don't know how to make.
But I think that the shows like do preppers a disservice though, because they pick the most like
of
wacky
course.
Ones.
Yes, just, it's
because
funny.
They gotta get ratings for their show, right? And they gotta like, oh, we're gonna show this guy. He's a freaking wacko.
Yes.
You know, he's hoarding like, you know, 2 million bullets in his. But that's not majority of what preppers do, I think.
Right. I think there is a good healthy amount of prepping that everyone should probably do. You should have like, you know, so much water on hand and so much of this, that, mm-hmm. thing. But you know what's funny is, isn't it always interesting that the preppers that they always show, at least, they're always the most out of shape people that would probably not be able to survive the apocalypse. And there's this
you
one.
You want to lose like 100 pounds before the apocalypse happens.
There's this one famous episode where this guy that's prepping is going out to target shoot with his kid. He brings his kid, and he ends up shooting his thumb off. He put the thumb.
Oh!
Do you remember that one?
No.
Okay. Well, he had an assault rifle, and he shot his thumb off. And what's funny is they kept talking to him. It's one of those that they scored your chance of survival. And the kid even said to him, never put anything in front of the barrel, right? And he's like, that's right, son. After he and they scored him like they said that he should get firearms training.
You got a 0 in firearms.
So I think that's hilarious, but you know, that's why people make fun of some of the preppers.
And he was probably in one of those that had like 2,000 rounds of ammunition in his house.
Yeah. I think people neglect things like learning how to grow food or, you know, stuff like that. But anyways, yes, prepping is a skill that should be looked at.
Definitely.
Did you hear about the, from TheVerge.com, Apple will scan photos stored on iPhones for iCloud, or iPhones and iCloud for child abuse imagery? You hear about that one?
I didn't hear about that. I think that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, well, I think it's just one step away from just looking at all your dick pics, but, so this is why I don't think you should store anything on the cloud and avoid massive companies like iPhone. Now, of course, I don't agree with, you know, child, you know, porn. So We all want the child pornography people to get caught, but I don't think just like scanning everyone's photos on their stuff is a good thing. And I think it's one step away from big government.
How are they gonna scan for these photos, right? Like any naked image of a person is gonna probably get flagged, right? Because they're gonna be able to tell a child from an adult, like
I guess
just through like AI, right?
I guess there is a database. See, I didn't know this, but there is actually like I can't remember what it's called. It probably says it in this web page here, but I cannot remember the there's an acronym for there's actually a database of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
They're just going to do like an image, like an image search based.
Yeah, they probably do a hash off of it. Now, all sounds good, but I don't trust them to just be looking for child porn. That's all I'm saying. Your dick pic
And besides, like not everybody distributes it. Like only the dumb people distribute it, right? So like a lot of people will just take or get the photos and then they'll just like hoard them on their device or hoard them, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, but they're not anywhere else on the internet. They're just in this one person's device. So those ones aren't going to show up in the database anyway.
Well, right, if it's not a known one, correct, yeah. This would only
supposedly a distributed image, it's not going to show up.
Right, yeah.
And I think a lot of predators do that because they're smart enough to know that if they distribute them, then they're going to be all over the internet and the FBI is going to get hold of it.
Well, I don't know how smart pedophiles are, but all I know is
there's pedophiles in every aspect of society. All the way up to government, you know, talking about the smartest people in the country, in the world.
The richest people are the real pedophiles. You got the Epsteins, Bill Gates, and all that shit. But
Epstein wasn't probably smart enough to know not to do that. But
well, I don't want my dick pic being scanned by Apple. So that's all I'm saying. Anyways.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I don't think it's an effective way to do it anyway.
Well, here's some potential news from the future. WhalesOnline.co.uk message on TikTok from 2714 time traveler says aliens will land on Earth today. Now this was from August 11th. So according to this guy,
well, they didn't land.
So. Well, no, I don't know if he meant that it would be public, but I think it just says that the aliens landed. Now it's going to be a few years until the start of the intergalactic war though. Okay.
So
aliens are set to land on Earth today, August 11th, I guess, during the Perseid meteor shower, according to a man who says he has traveled back from the year 2714. Time traveler has posted the message on TikTok, claiming the alien landing will be the first stage in an intergalactic war. So this TikTok user, aesthetic time warper.
We should get him on the show, dude. I want to talk to this guy.
We should try to find aesthetic time warper. Says the invasion will come as the Earth passes through the densest part of the Perseids. Okay, that's the invasion. But fortunately, all-out war is not set to start until 2025. So we've got 3 years.
The result of the war is?
I don't know. Let's see here. There will also be a very large meteor shower that lasts for 2 weeks. It will be seen in the northern hemisphere containing the Norzik message. So he says, yes, I am a real time traveler from the year 2714. Something amazing happens on August 11th, 2021. So there'll be the large meteor shower. Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't really an amazing day for me. I was on a plane, so it wasn't.
So you didn't see anything?
No.
Well, the colonization of Mars begins in 2028, according to this guy. And aliens infiltrate. Aliens infiltrate the world's governments in 2023. Okay, and Atlantis will be found in 2022. Okay, so we got a lot of stuff here. So yeah,
we got to get this guy on the show.
So there we go.
Good stuff.
Now this is actually an older article that someone told me, and I just figured we had to talk about it, but NPR.org, scientists say Japanese monkeys are having sexual interactions with deer. So if you go to this site, you'll see monkeys that ride stags, and then some of them actually fuck them. It's really bizarre.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know what's going on, but this is in 2017, so I don't know what they're up to nowadays, but we should...
Maybe that's just the flavor of the week.
Yeah, Yeah.
Maybe. They moved on to like gorillas or something.
Yeah, right. Okay. CBSnews.com. This might be something that is for the doomsday preppers. Scientists want to send 335 million seed, sperm, and egg samples to the moon to create a lunar Noah's Ark.
Okay.
Now, this doesn't make any sense to me because
It doesn't make sense because we don't have the ability to live on the moon yet.
Well, that too, but if you, let's say you're going to get them and bring them back to Earth, if the world blows up, who's going to go to the moon and get
them? If the world blows, well, you know, they may just launch all their spaceships and just head up there if the world is about to end.
Just hang out on the moon in a base?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only shot for humanity to survive, right? I mean, I think if the Earth blows up, the moon's probably going to leave orbit and it's going to just kind of float into space.
So
because it needs the Earth to be able to orbit around.
So you know that we have the seed bank in Norway, but this guy says, Thanga's team believes storing such precious samples on our own planet is far too risky. Luckily, the moon, located just 238,855 miles away, has none of these issues. I don't know who this is, actually. Anyways.
Well, I guess it's cold enough. You don't really need to refrigerate it.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
So probably, because the moon is very cold.
So we're talking about building this giant facility up there to go. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I think we should focus on, getting the ability to, civilize the moon.
Yeah, well, they want to use the lava
or
tubes.
Or Mars. Mars would be fine.
They want to use these lava tubes that they found in 2013 on the moon.
Oh, to put the sperm in?
To create this arc, yeah. Yeah.
Well, go for it.
Yeah.
So I hope that's not where my tax money is going. But
yeah, we'll see what happens. Okay. Anyways, well, this one is something that more Mongoose wanted to focus on here, but Al Jazeera.com and, of course, other stories have covered this, but four officers who warded off U.S. Capitol attacks died of suicide. He thinks there's something suspicious about these Capitol police officers committing suicide. He thinks maybe they were possibly offed. I don't know. So
Here's the thing. I mean, I don't know how political we want to get into, but what are they hoping to find out of this whole investigation is my problem with it. Like, we're wasting so much time and taxpayer dollars to investigate this Capitol riot. We all know what was said, right? We all watched the speeches. We all watched what Trump said, unless there's somebody that has proof of like some backroom, conversation that he had with like the leaders of these groups, like the Proud Boys and whoever else was there, like, unless there's that evidence somewhere sitting around, then what are we investigating? What's the point of this? What are we going to discover? Like, well, we already know all the facts.
Yeah, I think, this is more on the conspiracy side that Mongoose thinks there's something nefarious going on against these Capitol police, like maybe they were suicided. But to your point, I did hear that I didn't look into it yet, but there were some emails between the administration and some of these groups. But the bigger failing is the fact that they definitely didn't have enough presence of security forces on that day.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem with it, is that it was the biggest embarrassment to this country that I've ever seen. Like, I was embarrassed to be an American that day, because not because of the riots, because riots happen all the time. It's because we couldn't even control, however many thousands of people that were outside of our Capitol building. If that had happened in Russia or in China, do you think that would have even got like within 500 yards of that building? They would have been like smashed onto the ground, handcuffed, and taken to a internment camp somewhere.
Right.
And you'd never see those people again. Like, they wouldn't have even gotten near the building. Like, it's pathetic that we weren't prepared enough to be able to handle a riot,
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the
total failing of the Capitol Police and the governor of that state and the mayor of Washington. I mean, just total failure.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That is Monday, August 16th headlines. Email us, show packetsandbolts@gmail.com. Packetsandbolts@gmail.com. Okay. So, we are here, 2021. We survived the pandemic for now. And we've gone through yet another sysadmin day. No one cares about sysadmins anyways. So, it's all about that's DevOps. Sure. It's all about DevOps now.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So what wisdom do you have to bestow upon us on this?
I don't know what wisdom there is in it, but you know, we've talked about this a number of times, but it's, you know, it's just going to change the landscape, right? Of, you know, cloud is just going to, you know, fundamentally change the landscape of IT as we know it today. I think we're not going to recognize it in 5 to 10 years. And
really,
the thing that's, yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be completely different. I don't think the roles that we have today within IT are going to be there in 5 to 10 years. They're going to be completely transformed. Like, for example, you know, my role as a sysadmin or, you know, systems engineer, you know, that role is pretty much the same no matter where you go, right? It's kind of like a network engineer. You do the same thing no matter what company. I mean, there might be subtle differences, but you're basically doing the same stuff. You're managing storage, you're managing virtualization, you're managing operating systems. You're doing work in the data center to, you know, rack gear and maintain gear. But I think those jobs are really, you know, they're in danger of just being eliminated completely, right? So we're going to have a situation where, you know, if you don't know, if you're a systems engineer or sysadmin, you don't know how to code, or you're not capable of coding, you're going to really be pushed out of a job, and you might as well consider changing industries, because there's really going to be no place for you, as the way I see it, in the future of IT. You know, unless you change to a completely different role. Like, the one thing that I think is going to stick around is like EUC, right? End user computing. I mean, there's never going to be a situation where we don't need to have, you know, people managing EUC, because there's always going to be devices out there that people need to manage and update and patch and all
even
that
stuff. Even in a VDI
yeah.
Even in that
environment? Well, I mean, VDI. Yeah, I mean, in a VDI environment, I mean, I don't think people are going to do VDI, to be honest. I mean, I think VDI is going to kind of go away, too, in a lot of organizations, because they're just not gonna want it anymore once everything's in the cloud. But
interesting.
I think things like VDI, you know, there will be some VDI players still. I think Citrix will be around, because, you know, app delivery is still something that's going to need to be there regardless of whether you're in the cloud or not. You know, it's an easy way to deliver, you know, applications to an end user rather than have everyone have a laptop. So,
well, sure. Yeah. I think I see your point, but I think we're actually going to have a backlash at some point. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I think there's going to be a reversal. So
I think we all hope that. I don't know.
Well, no, I think so we're going through the period of time, like, you know, history repeats itself, or at least it rhymes if it doesn't repeat. But I think that was Mark Twain, right? But we're going through the period of like the mainframe days. So, you know, there was a time in the, you know, 70s and stuff where everyone was doing, like, you know, or 60s, 70s, where they were doing timeshare on computers and servers that the universities had. And then what happened was, after they realized that they didn't have any control of this, they were paying, you know, however much for their time, and then only could get the amount of time, obviously, that they paid for. And then they started to invest in their own, whether they got their own mainframes or, you know, with the computer PC, they started to, you know, do PCs too, right? But that, there was a big backlash once they realized that they had no control of anything they were doing. It was all in someone else's hands. So I think it's going to, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's going to keep going. Don't get me wrong. And coding is always a good, I mean, I knew how to, you know, code before I became a network guy. I didn't even know about networking.
Same here.
But yeah, but, and that's always been something that if you know how, you're going to be more efficient, right? If you have a big task, you can script it, you can do whatever. And I think there has to be more of that. I think some of these gains we've made are good in terms of some of the stuff that it gives you is an ability to have a uniform environment that you know exactly what you're doing. Whereas when you used to do servers individually, right, you'd get config drift and all that crap, yeah. right? And it was a very annoying thing.
But there's ways around that,
sure,
too, right?
I mean, sure. Yeah, yeah.
There's ways around drift.
And I always blame developers. People would give developers admin rights on a server, and that's like the worst thing in the world. But people do it. But yeah. anyways, so I see some of the benefits, but a lot of those benefits can be had on your own equipment. Now, it doesn't need to be on-prem. It could be hosted somewhere else. But the point is, if you have full control of the equipment, you can use these modern techniques to manage. You can do infrastructure as code in your own environment. And I think there's going to be a reckoning. Yeah, I think there's going to be a reckoning someday, whether it's a major breach or the costs just keep going up, because this doesn't save money. You know, used to be the argument. Go to cloud to save money.
Anybody who believes that is 100% wrong, that it saves money. I mean, it just doesn't.
Right. So
there are other benefits, and this isn't like a assault on the cloud, right? This is supposed to be, you know, just a discussion about cloud, and there's things that are good and things that are bad.
Right.
But I just think that the landscape is going to change drastically.
And I think you're right there. I'm just going to say that I believe there's going to be a backlash, but cloud itself, like, as long as you don't define cloud as being, you know, Amazon, Google, et cetera. Cloud, the things that we've gotten from cloud technologies, I think those are not going to go away. But I think there's going to be some realization that if you do it yourself, you can get some benefits and possibly save money. However, I think the thing that's fighting in your favor is the lack of desire for most companies to want to even hire competent people. So, mm-hmm. if they want to get rid of like intelligent, high paid people, then what you're saying is probably true.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. I think it's a big part of it. I think the way I see it, it's like 25%, right? So that's what I see the workforce getting kind of cut, right, with cloud. Cause so right now, like my team has, I think 8 people on it. So, you're going to take 25% of those people and you're going to retain them. Right. And that's going to be, you know, about, I don't know, 2 people. And you're going to say, okay, these 2 people are going to manage, you know, the cloud and whatever's left of the legacy on-prem environment. Cause there's always going to be some remnants of legacy on-prem. You're not gonna be able to move everything up there, but I think that's enough. Right. Cause there's really, once you have everything into the cloud, there's really not much for, you know, a system engineer to do. You've taken the hardware layer out. You've taken the hypervisor layer out. Really all you have left is the, you know, the Amazon or Azure console, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're managing permissions on things like VPCs, you're creating, you know, users in IAM, you're managing the operating system that runs, you know, whatever, in whatever stack you have. You could have, you know, Kubernetes running, you could have just regular EC2 instances running, but you're still going to have to have someone manage the operating systems, right? If IIS web service goes down, you're going to need someone to recycle it. If Nginx goes down on a Linux web server, you're going to have somebody go in and restart it. But, you know, that stuff is, you know, it doesn't take that much time. So I think you can get rid of, I think these companies are really seeing the money that they can save by getting rid of, you know, 75% of their workforce, right? And the same on the network side too, I think. I mean, there's no more network gear in the data center, right? The only network gear left is now within the IDFs, and, you know, you have your access points you got to manage still, but, you know, one person can really do all of that. You don't need to have a team of like 3 or 4.
Well, yeah, you really don't. I mean, most places don't have 3 or 4 unless they're a bigger company, but
well, we have 3. Yeah, I'm just talking about like a mid-sized company.
Well,
like a medium-sized company.
I think some of those staff reductions you're talking about are best case scenario if you actually design a unified way of deploying your app. So what I've been seeing is some of these places that are trying to go cloud, they don't have a streamlined development process. So there is no, so the only way you get the biggest win, and I'm not talking about just, you know, Azure cloud or whatever, I'm talking about like even doing your own cloud. The only way you get the big ops dev win where you can just start deploying code and not care about shit is if you have a uniform pipeline. The problem I'm seeing is some of these companies cannot create that pipeline. They're still creating like uniquely designed applications that are a mess. and they don't know how they work. They can't fit it into any secure. I mean, assuming you do this securely, don't get me wrong. There are companies out there that when they go to the cloud, they have no security in place. They let everything everything. And then they just get hacked.
And I've seen that happen in multiple companies where they pay no attention to security because they think that they make the mistake of thinking that Amazon or Azure are going to do it for you, and they don't.
Right.
That's the biggest mistake that companies make, is assuming that the cloud is going to do it for you, and really you're responsible for all of the security that's not on the back end hardware side.
Yeah. So they're just securing the hosts.
Right.
So yeah, that's a good point, because this is the biggest thing I see in a immature cloud deployment. They start, like, the developers, some would call it shadow IT, but technically some of these developers are in IT. They get a hold of a cloud instance. Like they get to use the cloud for some reason. And then they just start deploying everything in their cloud network. There's no security between anything. You know, they're letting databases and web servers just hang out.
Yep. And then they're using root accounts to manage the instances. But then it somehow becomes production.
But that to me is the biggest reason why if the company was knew what they were doing, they would retain the staff that you're probably arguing they would get rid of, because those people would enforce a secure way of deploying it, which you need the traditional methods deployed in the cloud.
The problem is that a lot of those people, so I would say out of the 8 people on my team, maybe 2 of us, right, have the knowledge to be able to do that.
Well, okay.
The other 6 people, they don't have it.
Well,
so
sure.
What most companies I think will do is they'll bring in a consultant, right?
Well,
they'll bring in a third-party consultant to come in and say, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you secure it, and this is how you deploy your applications.
I just don't see that working out. If you get rid of the people that actually know and care, and you get a contractor to set it up for you, but then you let the developers run with things, they're not going to keep it secure.
Well,
they won't.
You'll always have to. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get rid of everybody. You always have to have somebody on staff that's going to be able to manage that instance, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
They're going to be managing the cloud, like the permissions and the operating systems that are running out there, and new instances. You know, they're going to be spinning them up. Hopefully you don't have developers doing that, because that's when you know it's a really immature cloud strategy.
That's what the ops dev, they get a developer, they call them ops, DevOps, and then there you go.
Yeah, well, a developer's not DevOps.
Yeah, but that's what they'll do.
I don't care who says they are. They're not, right?
Yeah,
a DevOps person is somebody who understands infrastructure, but also might know how to write code and how to streamline processes.
Yeah, that might be the better definition, but that's not what most companies say.
Yeah, I agree. And the main issue is that, you know, the 75% of people that you fired off the team, like, they're not DevOps engineers. They're not going to be able to get another job very easily, right? They're going to have to search really hard to find somebody who's still on-prem, because a lot of those people are never going to write code, right? They're just not – they're not built for that, right? They just don't know how to write code. They don't want to – some of them don't want to learn it. Like, I know storage admins that I've worked with in my career that all they do – is storage. They've done storage for 20 years. You think those people are going to learn how to write code just so they can survive in the industry? you know what I mean? Like, they're just, they're dinosaurs, and they're not going to survive.
Storage is, storage engineer.
a lot of companies, a lot of bigger companies silo that stuff, right? Like, in my company, it's not siloed. Everybody is supposed to be able to do it. They don't, but everybody's supposed to be able to do it. But a lot of companies, like, you know, even if we were there, you know, it was siloed into one person was doing it.
Well,
that is definitely
one job I would not want to have, is like the only task is storage. It's like phones. Oh,
it can be a full-time job, though.
It can, but I wouldn't want to do
it. It's a lot of work.
I wouldn't want to do it. And phones suck.
Yeah.
Setting
telephony and storage, probably not the most interesting jobs ever.
Well, people complain about phones so much, and It's amazing for anyone that hasn't worked in a phone system. The amount of stupid shit you'll hear about, like, this button, this button's supposed to do this, but it's doing this. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and and the phone systems have gotten so complex now, like, that they used, you know, i3, and we use it here, too. But it's so complex. It's like, now it's Genesis. Like, they bought it.
I didn't know that.
Like, it's over, like, it's so overly complex. You need, like, a team of, like, 5 or 6 people to manage it.
I didn't realize that they had changed their name to Genesis. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Genesis Pure Connect now, I think, is the name.
Ooh, did they have to rebrand themselves because they're, I think they've got, like, a cloud offering now?
Yeah, and we're actually in the process of migrating to their cloud. Offering, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I have my doubts. If you have like a really huge call center, I don't know how Genesis Cloud works. If there's no on-prem, and you've got like a massive call center, and then you're just gonna, because I remember being, you know, one of the problems with managing voice, which is a very annoying gig, and I would not recommend it for anyone, but is they complain about so many things. Like if you just get a blip in things, they go nuts. So I just can't imagine if you have like, you know, 1,000 some people call center and you're using the cloud, there's going to be some outage. I don't know. You know, are they going to find that acceptable? I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. It might work better than I think it does, but all I know is what I've seen in the past, and anything goes wrong and they flip their lid. So.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I guess you'll have to let me know.
Yeah. I don't work close enough with that team to know, but I know they deal with that kind of stuff. They work directly with, you know, operations and the call center. And I know that they get frustrated all the time because they have to deal with call center agents and call center management. And it's just a nightmare. I wouldn't want that job because I'm not really a user facing person.
You want to deal with the back end.
I've realized that over my career. Like I'm better if I don't have to deal with users.
Yeah, all users. That was one of my first my part time job off of when I got out of college. I was an assistant to a network administrator, I think was her title. So she was basically the main. It was a very small place, and she was the main chick, and I just did all the bitch work. So I would update antivirus definitions. I had to go, like, computer to computer and update the, like, load the DAT files. And then what else did I have to do? Crawling under desks. And it's amazing how many people do not move and are fine with you crawling under their desk. And like, they're not even, like, they barely give you room to get under there. And they're fine with you being under their desk while you're like fucking with cabling. It's really weird. It's really weird. So yeah.
Gotcha.
That was my intro to IT.
That's not the where you want to be ultimately. Under a desk.
I heard a good story. So someone I know used to work at some, I don't know what kind of company it was, factory type, and it was an IT. Mm-hmm. And he was an intern, and he worked with this guy that, I don't know what his position was there, but he's still in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently must be like a macho man. And and he had to carry some heavy thing. What was it? I don't know if it was printers or I don't know what it was, but he had to go up to like the second or third or fourth floor. And it was like a factory type setting. Uh-huh. And so the intern started walking and the guy goes, "Where are you going?" And he goes, "To the elevator." He's like, "Come here, give me that." And he grabs this these two heavy things, one in each arm. And he says something about like, I'll show you or something about being a girl. Anyways, he takes this heavy, expensive equipment and he goes up the stairs. And he says by the time he got to like the floor that he was supposed to be on, the guy was like heaving, like he was expecting to fall over, but he gets it up there and he puts it down and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, who the hell does this? Like, this is like thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Why would you risk showing off to an intern? I don't know. I just thought that would be a funny. It's a funny IT. I need to find that guy and get him on the podcast because he tells a lot more details of that story. But but I've never experienced that in my life. I've never heard of someone grabbing expensive equipment and trying to prove a point carrying it up several flights of stairs. But I would have probably just started laughing and got fired. But anyways, I thought that was funny.
That is funny.
and fast forward, he I guess he had to get his like joints replaced and stuff. And it's like, oh. Well, you're carrying this kind of heavy equipment upstairs, and you know that might have a take its toll after so many years of doing that. So yeah, I've never encountered that in the IT industry, but if you have, email the show at packetsandbolts@gmail.com. Because that's a bizarre one.
That is bizarre.
Well, in terms of the cloud, are you trying to call this the cloudageddon for
cloudageddon for 2021
for certain IT professions?
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I'm not saying it's like doom and gloom for everybody, but I do think that if you're a sysadmin, you're an engineer, you're a network engineer, I think you should start to try to get your skills in a different bucket. Try to learn how to write code. That would probably be the best thing for your career, is if you at least learn how to do DevOps type of scripting and stuff like that, because that's going to really help to get you into positions that are going to be, I think, pretty few and far between once everything is in the cloud, and once most companies are running in the cloud. They're just not going to need people that only know hardware and only know virtualization. Those type of people are going to be, dinosaurs, we like to call them. But but I think you need to start looking at, either getting new skills or maybe a career change. I don't know. But I think it's going to get to that point.
Yeah, I'll agree with that to an extent. If you just know hardware, that's, you've got to diversify. I still think, to me, architecture is the way to go because, I'm sick of doing the hands-on shit anyways, but I'd rather just design.
But even architecture though, I mean, architecture is drastically different depending on whether you're doing it on-prem or in the cloud,
true.
Right?
You have to know it all.
It's going to be way different.
Right. Yeah. You have to know it all and keep on top of that. But that's, like I said, I'm fighting that in several areas because, trying to apply proper architecture to the cloud when everything's up in the air, if a company's making a migration and they don't have like a strategy, you're like one voice trying to say like, hey, we got to look at this properly. And then, you have to worry about what the other people are doing. So it's a war. That's one of the problems with IT is, there's a lot of battles where it should just be like an actual sit down. Let's actually decide how we're going to do this. But that's unfortunately not how a lot of companies act. And I think that's why so many things are insecure. But you talk about dinosaurs. I've got another old story, related to me from another administrator in one of my third IT job. Early to mid 2000s, they told me about a guy that worked at the company prior. I wasn't there at the time. He was older. I don't think he was super old, but apparently now this, I had to chuckle because I don't know how old is DNS. DNS is not.
Oh man.
DNS
the beginning
is not,
of everything.
DNS isn't that new. I didn't think. I guess I'd have to go look it.
It's been around since day one. Like the internet wouldn't exist without DNS. Right?
So this guy supposedly was at the at this company, and they were trying to roll out, like, there was a name change to some system, some major system that they used, and he was going to each desktop and putting the host file entries in. And and what this administrator was telling me was like, had he never heard of DNS? And I'm just like, what? And I almost couldn't believe that. So like early to mid 2000s, I mean, DNS was around at least from the late 90s. But I mean, I know it goes back. I don't know. I'd have to go look that up. But the point is, I don't know how you could be in the in IT and not have that understanding. But, you know, if you didn't know about DNS, or maybe you never rolled out like a centralized DNS server, I guess that would suck if, you know, people start coming into the to your workplace that have this training from school that you never apparently had. I guess, you know, because, hey, I will tell you this, even, and you and I know some companies that people did not know how to manage DNS properly. Like, if you look at people's, like, DNS servers on their Windows domain, they usually don't know what zones, they don't know how to make zones properly. They can't do reverse shit, you know, to save their life. A lot of times. I think it's gotten better, but there was a period of time that if you looked at a Windows DNS server, the thing was just a mess.
Yeah, and I think it's still that way. I think because a lot of people don't really understand DNS even today.
Like, don't know.
I work with a lot of sysadmins that really don't understand from a fundamental level how it works, and you know that's
weird.
You know, scary because it's like the basis for everything that happens, right? I mean, you have to understand DNS to understand anything above DNS, which is everything.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So
yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's a little surprising when you run across someone who doesn't know it.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought about that.
Developers, I guess, you know, in my opinion, a developer should understand DNS, but most developers don't, you know, and that's just the way it is. But, you know, if you're a sysadmin, you damn well better know DNS and understand, you know, what a forward lookup zone is, what a reverse lookup zone is, you know, how DNS traverses the internet. I mean, you got to understand.
Right, like the different levels of servers and like...
The difference between internal DNS and external DNS. Yeah.
Authoritative.
I mean, the authoritative servers, yep. Yeah.
Well, you know, another one, this is kind of not related at all, but it's also funny how many people don't understand NTP stratums. So... Yeah. I've had several, in the last several years, I've mentioned stratums and people were like, what? I'm like, never mind. So it's like, wow. I thought this was like basic knowledge. But anyways, the atomic clock, that's the top, right? Anyway. DNS. Wow, holy shit. You know, we'll have to have a show where we just talk about how much fundamental technology things no one understands but use. They use it, but don't understand it.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It could fill a whole show for sure.
Like another one is crypto, PKI or SSL or certs.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I've had to dive really deep into crypto this year because of PCI PCI remediations that we've had to do, and so but a lot of people, they have just no concept of how it works. You know, how does the encryption work? You know, how many bits are you using to encrypt? They just, it's just like, oh, it works.
Yeah, right.
You know, what are the different versions of TLS? What do the cipher suites mean? You know, there's just a lot. There's a lot to it in fairness, but most people just kind of gloss over it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why they're deprecating a lot of those standards, because there's so many insecure versions floating around that if they didn't just stop using them, people would just keep using them for it.
Yeah, like we had to deprecate the DHE cipher suites this year because they are they're insecure and PCI is requiring it. So it should have really been done years ago, but they're finally requiring that all weak DHE ciphers are going away.
You know how many times I walk into a place and I take over the firewalls or something, I look at the VPN tunnels and there's still triple DES or even DES encryption.
Oh man, who uses triple DES anymore?
Well, triple DES for sure is bad, but DES is the worst. Like that thing was like dead on arrival. Like you're thinking to yourself, like, how does this not get audited? So I don't know.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, and it's like, these PCI audits can only do so much for you. They're not going to find every little security vulnerability. Like, that's up to the admins to be able to understand, hey, this is not a secure protocol we're using. We need to, we shouldn't be using HTTP. We shouldn't be using, port 80 for anything, anymore.
Yeah.
And, a lot of companies are still using port 80 for internal, intranet sites. And it's like, that's how you get hacked right there, So, all it takes is someone to come into your building and plug into one of your ports and, they can get your data. So
Yep. Well, you know, zero trust networks. That's, are you guys moving to that anytime soon? Where nothing is trusted and you're just cut off from the beginning?
I don't see that happening. That's a little drastic, I think. But
it's coming. It's coming.
we'll see. Most companies aren't going to do that kind of thing until it's a requirement.
Until they force but, it. That's
yeah. Until they force you.
We need.
And that's regulation. But that's why Russia's hacking us so much, right? Is because they know all this already, and they know that companies aren't going to do it unless they're required to do it. And so they're like, we can pretty much pick, you know, what large company we want to attack, and chances are they're not doing, you know, what they should be doing. So we can probably get in.
Yeah,
it's sad.
Yeah, well, you know, it's every day you look at the companies that are out there and the amount of weak designs that they allow, and I always
weak
point
security
back to,
designs. Yeah,
I always point back to, what was it, Equifax, that where I believe the web server and the database server are on the same the same server. It's like insane, and it's like in this day and age, and that happened. Well, that was like what 2015 or 14 or something, but that's no excuse for that. I mean, come on, we knew about this kind of stuff like years before. So yeah. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith.
That was never a best practice.
Well, maybe not. But people,
you know, your
did
database
it.
And your app on the same server.
People did it.
But and they did it because, you know, it's probably like a POC at some point they were doing.
Maybe.
And they're like, oh, we'll just deploy it all on the same server. It'll be easy. And we'll, you know, when we go to prod, we'll deploy it properly. We'll put an app server out there
and
a database server. And then what happened was, like, managers like, we don't have time for that. And then they're like, we need to just move this to production.
You got to move at the speed of business.
And then it never got fixed. You got to move at the speed of business.
You got to move at the speed of business, man. And that's
always what they said.
That's always that's the dumbest.
Which is the dumbest thing ever. But
and it's faster in theory, and you can do what is it with a Microsoft server? You can do shared memory or whatever, where you can do like the memory lookup on the same device or whatever. I don't know. This is just ridiculous, and this is why I think, as much as you say that this is going to be cloud-ageddon, I think you're always going to be, of course, some people will have to just become consultants, because at the end of the day, that's where you'll just get called in to fix all the stupid shit people do. When they don't listen to their internal staff and they fuck up, they'll hire consultants. I mean, that's what they do.
But I think consultants too are not just for that, but for also, you know, people that just don't know how to move to the cloud and they want to. They're going to hire consultants. They're going to bring them in. You know, how do we do this? Show us how to secure it. And
then you hope,
you know, and
consultant.
Some of those consultants aren't good.
No,
like, you know, you bring in the wrong consultant and they're going to tell you to do it the wrong way and you're not going to have any security. And then, you know, what's going to happen when you get breached? You know, are you going to blame it on the consultant? You know, like, yeah. That's just, you gotta have people knowledgeable on your staff.
Well,
but I think a lot of people today that are in the traditional roles aren't knowledgeable yet. You know, they may be getting there, but they're not there.
Well,
and so I think training is super important.
You know, what's funny is the cloud, the cybersecurity, what is it called? The cyber insurance or whatever the hell it's called. You know, all the people are buying that insurance so that they don't have to.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Well, you know, it's like if you get hacked, you get payment because, you know, cyber insurance.
I didn't know that it was out there.
Yeah. So this is the new way that companies are attempting to not take responsibility for their insecure networks. Well, guess what? The cybersecurity insurance firms are not sitting around. They're not sitting around waiting for people to get hacked. You know what they're doing? They're like, are you guys doing this or that? And if you're not, we're not going to cover you in case of a breach. And now...
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to make any money if they don't put, like, guidelines right? in there.
So now the companies are like, fuck, we still have to do shit. I thought you were moving at the speed of business.
Have a super insecure network and then have them cover it? Right. Like,
I thought they were moving at the speed of business. I guess not.
Oh, they're so dumb. I mean, there's no way to get out of doing security.
Like, at some point, I don't know
why people think there's a way to get around it. Like, you have to secure your network. You have to secure your servers. You have to secure your data. Like, there's no substitute for it.
Well, on that note, I'm thinking that the chimes are ringing here, but your prediction is cloud is going to decimate staff in how many years?
I think within 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
We're going to see that 25%, you know, retained, and then the rest of
them. So 75% reduction.
They're going to have to be put into the IT pool and figure out, you know, what they're going to do, you know, whether they're going to become developer or DevOps, or whether they're just going to say, you know what, time for me to learn a new skill and get out of the industry.
So you're saying within 5 to 10 years, 75% reduction, call it again.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what I think.
That's what you think? And I'm going to say within 5 years.
I have to preface that with, right, the traditional roles, right? So systems engineer role, that role is going to be reduced by that much.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that there won't be DevOps positions that are available.
Sure.
Right. Because I think the roles are going to change.
Okay.
But, you know, the traditional role that we have today, that, you know, regular network engineers, regular system engineers, I think those are going to be reduced by that much.
Okay. Well, I won't argue that point directly, because I think more coding is in the future, which is fine, you know, whatever. I'll argue that it's always been around. Scripting has always been around. And so I'm not going to argue that. And I think there might even be added staff if they try to do more coding. Developers are very inefficient, so they usually hire more. But I'm going to say within 5 years.
That's a DevOps role, though. That's not...
True. But they'll just use developers. Thing. But anyways, and I'm going to say within five years, there will be some sort of minor backlash. Not saying fully. And there will be a resurgence in hybrid cloud strategies.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I hope you're right. I really do, because... I think one of the best things I've heard so far about cloud is it's a tool, not a destination.
Correct.
Right? And that's exactly what it is.
That's the way to think.
It's a tool, not a destination. And companies are treating it like a destination. And I hope that finally they realize that it's not a destination and it's a tool to be used for specific things that make sense.
Exactly.
And not just to wholesale forklift everything over to.
And I agree with that as well. Thank you, Mike, the admin. SysAdmin Day 2021, a little late. Belated SysAdmin Day. It is Monday, August 16th, 2021. Packets and Bolts. Email the show, packetsandbolts@gmail.com. Remember to keep packing those bolts. Till next time. See ya.
See you later.
Real goat.